A man sits in chains, owned by one of the most powerful officials in Nero's Rome. He has no legal name of his own. The word others use for him, epictetus, simply means acquired, gained, like property. And yet, from that position of total external powerlessness, this man would develop a philosophy so precise and so durable that it would eventually reach Roman emperors, modern psychologists, and fighter pilots trained to survive captivity. That is not a metaphor. That is the documented arc of Epictetus, born sometime in the 50s CE in Hierapolis, a city in what is now southwestern Turkey, in the region of Phrygia. The circumstances that brought the young Epictetus to Rome are not known with certainty. What is known is that he became enslaved to Epaphroditus, an important administrator connected with the court of Emperor Nero. Think of Epaphroditus as a man at the center of imperial power, the kind of figure who could make or destroy careers. Epictetus had no legal standing, no guaranteed safety, and yet, remarkably, while still enslaved, he was permitted to study philosophy. His teacher was Musonius Rufus, one of the most prominent Stoic thinkers in Rome, also a Roman senator. That access changed everything. Epictetus absorbed Stoic ideas about reason, ethics, and the disciplined use of the mind. He studied not as a hobby, he studied as survival. Now, here is where the historical record delivers something genuinely striking. Epictetus walked with a limp for much of his life. Ancient accounts differ on the cause: illness, arthritis, or physical abuse during slavery. The uncertainty itself is telling. His body bore the marks of a life without protection, but his philosophy moved in the exact opposite direction from resentment or despair. After gaining his freedom, he began teaching in Rome. Then, around 89 CE, the emperor Domitian expelled philosophers from Rome, a political purge aimed at independent thinkers. Epictetus left. He traveled to Nicopolis in northwestern Greece, and there he built a school. He taught until his death around 135 CE. He never wrote a single word for publication. The key idea here is that everything we know about his teaching comes from a student named Arrian, who recorded his lectures. Those records became the Discourses and the Shorter Enchiridion, also called the Handbook. Arrian captured the voice of a man who believed that writing was far less important than living the philosophy out loud. So what was the core of that philosophy? Epictetus built his entire system around one concept, prohairiesis. It is often translated as moral purpose, volition, or the faculty of choice. The takeaway is this: prohairiesis is the one thing no one can take from you. Not a master, not an emperor, not a prison. Your body can be chained, your reputation can be destroyed, your property can be seized, but your capacity to judge, to choose how you respond, to give or withhold assent to what your mind presents, that belongs entirely to you. Epictetus called this the distinction between what depends on us and what does not depend on us. Judgments, choices, and the use of your mental faculties sit inside your control. External events, other people's actions, outcomes in the world, those do not. For example, if someone insults you, the insult is external. Your response to it is yours. That gap between stimulus and response is where freedom lives, Abigail. Epictetus did not discover that gap in a library. He discovered it in chains. That is the foundation of everything that follows in this course. A man with no legal name, no guaranteed safety, and a body that bore the costs of slavery built the most rigorous framework for inner freedom that the ancient world produced. He did not argue that external circumstances don't matter. He argued that they are simply not the location of your freedom. Your freedom lives in your prohairesis, your choosing faculty, and that faculty is always, under any condition, yours to exercise. Abigail, the key takeaway from this first lecture is exactly that. Inner freedom is independent of external circumstances, and it is the one thing that cannot be taken from you. Epictetus proved it, not with words he published, but with a life he actually lived. That is why, nearly 2,000 years later, we are still listening.